Good morning. We last week and this week we're focusing our springboard scripture is 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15. I appreciate the comments that Dave made at the scripture reading between Dave's comments and his reading and Brian's Lord's Supper. That kind of is a sermon, so we could probably just dismiss and have an early lunch. I appreciate their comments. Last week, we focused on the idea that we need to focus on singing. It is so easy, and I'll put it this way. I know I've caught myself. I may be the only one, but human nature, I got a feeling I'm not the only one. Maybe in a prayer for your mind to wander. When you're singing praises to God, you're singing the words. You're going through the motions. You're singing the words verse by verse, but maybe your mind is a million miles away. And our focus was to really, as Paul told the Corinthians, to sing with the spirit and to sing with the understanding. Just a quick review. Last week we looked at the plan of salvation, and we focused on songs. I appreciate Steve altering his song service and singing some songs about the different parts of the plan of salvation for us last week and today. One of the first things that we talked about was you've got to believe in God. You can't go anywhere toward salvation if you don't believe in God. You've got to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. A lot of people in the world believe in a God, but they don't necessarily, and there's a lot of people that believed there was a Jesus, a historical man named Jesus that died through crucifixion. With a lot of people, that is a given. But you have to believe that Jesus was the Savior, the Son of God, and that through Him salvation comes. And that's where we had left off last week, and I'd like for us to continue on with a simple message, the plan of salvation. These are some of the steps of salvation. Anybody that will be saved on that great day will have done these things. They will have believed in God. They will have heard the Word of God. They will act on it. And they believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God that died for our sins. The next step in the plan of salvation is we have to repent of our sins. Belief in God and belief in Jesus, hearing the Word of God, is of no benefit if we continue living that same old life. I look at what repentance brings. It brings hope. It brings confidence. Look at the lives that have been changed in our own life, in our story. It brings hope that we don't have to remain the same old sinful person. Every one of us have got sin in our life. There are things that if I had a little bit more flexibility, I'd spend a lot of time kicking myself in the backside for some of the things I've done in my life. But the good news is I don't have to stay that old person. I can repent of sin. I can go on. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. if you want to continue living the same old sinful life, don't believe me. But please believe Jesus. Because if you follow those steps of believing God, hearing the Word of God, and if you believe that Jesus is the Savior, you've got to believe Him. And if He is the Son of God, He has authority. He says, we've got to repent of our sins. And that's... isn't that good news? He doesn't want anything for us that's not good for us. We don't have to live that same old life. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he was preaching to thousands of people, delivered an unbelievable gospel sermon. And what is amazing to me is how short it was. It wasn't long. We could read Acts 2 and see all the components of a lesson. And at the end of this lesson, when those people hearing about it and they realized that this Jesus that they knew and that they took part in crucifying, and when Peter tells them this Jesus was the Son of God, He was the Savior, and you crucified Him. Verse 37 tells them they were cut to the heart. They were beside themselves. And they cried out, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And Peter comes up with... Acts 2:38 is one of those greasy pages in our Bibles. If you look at your Bible, chances are there's some thumbprints and some... it's a little, discolored from going to that so much. Acts 2:38, he says, after they've said, they were cut to the heart, and what must we do to be saved? He says, repent. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We don't have to stay in that same situation. And I'll tell you, repentance got a U-turn sign up there. Repentance is you just don't keep on doing what you've been doing. You don't just mentally acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was sent to earth for us, that God loved us. I loved Brian's comments today. It really hit home. That God loved us so much that He sent His Son. But we don't get to take advantage of it if we don't repent of our sins. And we've got to completely change. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9, Paul's writing to the Christians in Corinth. And he says, do you not know, and this is pretty straightforward, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of those people that Paul's talking about used to be that way, but they repented. They've changed. Some were such of us, but we've changed. That's the good news about repentance. We don't have to stay the same old person. In Acts 17:30 says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now calls on all men everywhere to repent. I am glad that God gave me enough time. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed 11:15. I'm glad God loved me and had enough patience to have given me time to be saved. He's given you time to be saved. He overlooked the times of ignorance. And I tell you, isn't sin ignorant? Living in sin. Isn't it silly, a pig just wallowing in the mud? But that's what they do. That's what sin is. Isn't it silly to want to just stay and wallow in the mud when you can be washed, when you can be cleansed, and you don't have to go back to that? To focus our minds on this concept of repentance, if you would, real quick, turn to number 925. And let us focus our minds and our hearts. Let us sing this song with the Spirit, and let us sing with the understanding, as Paul told the Corinthians. Steve? Thank you, Steve. Tremendous song. Another step in the plan of salvation that God wants us to do is to confess your belief. It's one thing believing in Christ, but Jesus wants us to confess to men. When somebody comes forward to be baptized, we always take their confession amongst the brethren, and they make that great confession in front of others. And in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus is talking and he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess to my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father in heaven." I want, that's an empowering thought to have, to know that Jesus will stand before me and before God and go to God on my behalf. On the day of judgment, for him to tell God, he's one of ours. Because he has professed verbally to others that I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But people that can't bring themselves to that, that just maybe they believe it, but they can't bring themselves to tell others, to make that confession, Jesus is going to deny them before the Father. Not only do we have to verbally confess before men, but you know what? We daily confess a lot of times even without opening our mouth. God wants us to make this confession verbally, but also the way we live our lives, the conduct that we have, how we behave with our friends, how we behave at school, in our neighborhood, at work. We're saying a lot of times without even opening our mouth. And we confess an awful lot by our actions. In Acts 8, 36 and 37, this is part of the story of Philip and the eunuch. And it says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip says, 'If you believe with all of your heart, you may.' And the eunuch, and he answered and says, 'I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.'" He made that confession. And we know the rest of the story about how he was baptized. But we see the eunuch making that confession in front of people. "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." My favorite example is Peter in Matthew 16. This is a lot of times what we refer to as the Great Confession. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and we did a whole sermon maybe a year ago on this passage. Caesarea Philippi was just full of idol worship. It was full of the pagan rituals and altars to other gods and so forth. And this is the area that this is taking place in. And Jesus, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am?" He's curious. He's kind of polling them. What do people say about me? Who do men say that I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That's what some people were talking about Jesus. That he was Elijah, maybe one of the other prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? He's talking with his disciples, and he says, others say this. What do you say? You know me. What do you say about me? And of course, it was Peter. He spoke up and he answered and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, later in the story, Jesus praises him for that. But Peter makes that great confession. You, Jesus. They knew he was alive. Just belief in Jesus. All those disciples, they knew he's there because they see him, they touch him. They see him eat. They know he exists. But he made the confession, you are the Christ, the Son of God, the living God, not an old God that's dead, the living. The outline said 579. I left off the 9. The next step in the plan of salvation is to be baptized. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, if you've heard the Word of God and study it, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you believe that, you're going to repent of your sins. It will lead you to make that great confession because you want to. Not only are we commanded, you want to make that great confession. But it doesn't stop there. We have to be baptized. The Greek word for baptism in the Greek is baptizo. And it means to dip, to plunge, immerse. There are a lot of people that believe in baptism. I know that we've got some people in here that are Christians that had a background in the Catholic faith. And sprinkling was used in the Catholic faith. That's not dipping, plunging, or immersing. There are others that believe that baptism is a spiritual issue. And I'm not refuting that. It is spiritual, but it is also physical. Who needs to be baptized? Those that are accountable. What age is that? I don't know. If you are accountable, there are some people, depending on their circumstances, that are not accountable for their knowledge, that are not accountable either due to circumstances in life, their age. But when you are accountable, you have to be baptized. There are people that believe in baptism of infant children. They're not accountable. They don't have sin. There are some religious people that we probably rub elbows with and work with and live next to that will baptize people that are dead or baptize people that have already died. They're not accountable. They're beyond accountability at that point. They're still accountable, but they're beyond accountability. They're beyond doing anything about it. Why? For forgiveness of sins. For forgiveness of sins. You're not baptized to join a group. You're not baptized to join a group and then you get a decoder ring and all that stuff. No. You're baptized for the forgiveness of sins. How? Immersion. We talked about that. And when? Immediately. When you come to that understanding, you don't make an appointment. We're not going to baptize on the third Sunday of the month. We've had people here be baptized that have come in the door before church, that they've heard sermons, they've been studying, and they've come right up the aisle to me in before services even start. I want to be baptized. It hits. I want to be baptized. The things you've said, the scriptures you gave me to look at, I get it. I need to be. We've baptized people before the worship even got going. You don't have to wait until the invitation. We always give an invitation. We've baptized people middle of the night before too. People will leave, we'll have an amen, we'll go to lunch. And they just, it's been brooding, just stewing on them. And then I got to go back. We've baptized people in the afternoon. God's invitation is always there. Romans 6, starting in verse 3, Paul writes, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him," immersion, "buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Here is a wonderful little comparison here. That when, just as Christ died His physical death, we die a death to sin. We repent. We die to sin. We are buried in baptism like Christ was buried in the ground. And just as death could not hold Christ and He rose to a new life, He was resurrected, we are raised to a new life. And that's what baptism does. We put on a new man, a new self. We looked at this verse earlier about repentance, but Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For the remission of sins. The next step with the eunuch, as he made the great confession, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. What a wonderful end to that story. Acts 22:16. "And now why are you waiting?" That's a great question. God's asking it every day of us. Why are you waiting? "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 16:32. "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." You see a number of things in that verse. You see repentance. You see immediately. You see the word of God being preached and convicting their hearts. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." I don't see how some people in the religious world get around it. I don't know if they just take a marker and cross that part out in the Bible or rip the page. I don't know. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." A lot of people have the misconception that that being baptized is the end result. In a lot of ways, that's the start. That's the start of your walk with Jesus. That's the start of your life as a Christian, is when you're baptized. We are told that we need to remain faithful. And this is the last step in the plan of salvation, is to remain faithful for the rest of our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, "He who endures to the end will be saved. It's a race. Paul talks about it being a race. It's a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. We've got to run that race for the rest of our lives. Paul says in Philippians 3, "Brethren, I do not count myself," and this is coming from Paul. This is coming from Paul. "I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul did not rest on his laurels. If there was anybody that maybe could have, it could have maybe been Paul, but Paul didn't. God doesn't want us to ever, "Well, I taught Bible class 40 years ago." What have you done since? What are you doing now? We have to remain faithful. Revelation 2:10, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." It's as plain as that. Be faithful until the day we die. And as Job, the story of Job, he lost his riches. He lost his family. His health was affected. And he remained faithful. If anybody had an excuse to get down in the dumps, to have the poor "woe is me" attitude, his own wife even said, "Curse God and die. Just give it all up." Job had the right attitude. "Even though he slay me, I will trust him." He had lost everything. "Even though he slay me, I will trust him." Everyone here has heard the plan of salvation through the Word of God. There are some of you that I do not know if you have done the required things that God has told us to do. We now, as we're getting ready to sing the invitation, number 763, I hope you believe in God. I hope you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I hope you repent of your sins. If you are saved, I hope you repent of your sins anyway. I hope you make that great confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be. It's as plain as black and white from God's Word, not my opinion. I'd probably have us do something else to be saved. God wants us to be baptized. And once we are, we start that walk with God. We start that walk with Christ. We have to remain faithful. Come what may. Whatever happens in our lives. If life deals us a good hand, a pleasant hand, we have to remain faithful. If life gives us some things that we have to choke down, we have to remain faithful. If you need to answer the call of the invitation through baptism, through repentance, through prayers, through identifying with working with us here, whatever your need, if you'd stand and let's sing together, number 763.